Welcome.
Welcome.
It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your host, Maureen Halloran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Sharon Bradley. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hi, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jackie Hahn, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. We have a very special guest this evening, two guests, actually. We have Charles Virtue, the eldest son of Dr. Doreen Virtue, and his partner, Tina Marie Daly, joining us this evening on our show. So it's going to be an awesome show. I'm really looking forward to it. But before we bring on our guests, I would like to introduce my co-hosts and would start with Steve Frampton. Steve, welcome to the show.
Good evening. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you. And please tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jackie. Well, my name's Steve Frampton. I'm originally from the UK. I now live in Tennessee in the United States and absolutely love being here. I am a psychic medium and I'm very excited about the show with Charles this evening. I completed Doreen Virtue's angel therapy program a number of years ago in Hawaii. So I'm really excited to hear about Charles's work as well.
Ah, wonderful. I can relate to that. So, yes, it'll be exciting. So, thank you, Steve, for sharing that. Okay, and let's go on. And we have our next co-host, Sharon Bradley. Welcome, Sharon.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Oh, sorry about that.
My name is Sharon Bradley, and I am a psychic on Psychic Access, which I love. And I don't use anything. I don't use cards or anything. I'm able to see and hear from spirit. So that's how I do my readings.
Okay. Thank you for that, Sharon.
You're welcome.
And my next co-host, last but not least, is Maureen Halloran. Welcome, Maureen.
Hi. I hope everybody can hear me okay.
Yes, we can. And tell the listeners about yourself. Thank you.
Sure. I'm also a reader on Psychic Access, and I'm an intuitive advisor. And I utilize tarot, cards, and numerology and astrology. And every negative can be a positive, and that's how I read.
Perfect. I love that. Every negative can be positive, and it certainly is. It certainly is. Thank you for that, Maureen. Sure. My name is Jackie Hahn, and I'm also a reader here on PsychicAccess.com. I work closely with the angelic realm and bring through messages. I find their energy is very compassionate and real in terms of bringing through messages to clients that are always filled with love, because the readers, the people who come to us, can be very sensitive in what they're asking about. So I really am very conscious about delivering messages that honor them and honor myself. So I work very closely with the angels, and like Steve, took Doreen Virtue's angel therapy practitioner course in Hawaii a couple of years ago. So it was a lot of fun. But anyway, let me just move forward. Very, very honored to have the opportunity to interview both Charles and Tina Marie Daly this evening. Charles and Tina have been working together teaching Angel Certification Program, ACP, for over 3 years around the country. The ACP class is a very grounded and informative experience that many students have reported brought about major beneficial life changes. Once again, Charles Virtue is the eldest son of Dr. Doreen Virtue, who's the creator of the Angel Therapy Practitioner Course and the author of some of the most prominent literature on working with angels. From his early childhood on, Charles has been in touch with the angels and their guidance, and he knew that one day he would be guided to teach this ability to others. In his early 20s, Charles began to give readings with the angel oracle cards. He found instant comfort in helping people by teaching them how to clear the blocks and fears that kept them from hearing the true guidance that their angel wanted them to receive. From then on, his mission was clear. He wanted to teach people how to listen to their angels and inner guidance. And also accompanying him tonight is Tina Marie Daly. And Tina Marie has been studying the metaphysical for over a decade. She has studied under many powerful and celebrated spiritual teachers, including the Reverend, Dr. Michael Beckwith, Julia Cameron, and Dr. Doreen Virtue, who certified Tina as an angel therapy practitioner and medium. Tina is also a Reiki master teacher and integrated energy therapy master instructor. I have to say that one slow. She holds a BA in religious studies from the University of Transformational Studies and Leadership in Los Angeles, California. She's also an Agape licensed spiritual counselor at the Agape International Spiritual Center under the direction of Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith. She teaches and counsels and gives intuitive readings all around the world. For more information on Charles Virtue and Tina Marie Daly, please visit their websites. Charles is www.charlesvirtue.com and Tina is www.tinamariedaly.com. Please be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will be announcing that number later, so please have your paper and pen handy so you can jot that down for easy reference. If you missed the show last week on astrology, you can find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com, which is under the Archives tab. So please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our intention to connect, with as many individuals as possible. So we do appreciate you sharing that link with others. And that is definitely our intention to get that message across. So, okay. So I will wait for the cue, but I will... Okay, never mind. Sorry, guys. Doug is working diligently behind the scenes and taking care of things for us. So let me just jump in and get to our guest this evening. So welcome to the show, Charles and Tina Marie.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hey, welcome. Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to be here with us.
Oh, well, we can say thank you to you as well for having us on. It's our pleasure.
Aww. Well, the feeling is mutual. The feeling is mutual. So I haven't interviewed two people before, so I'm going to take turns and then ask some general questions, and you guys, please, just jump in. You know, this is going to be a lot of fun. So we'll just go with the flow. So, Charles, I want to start with you. Interestingly enough, did you have any other dreams or desires for your career other than working with the angels, or was that something that you really knew from a very early age?
Well, that's kind of the funny thing about it is I always knew I wanted to help people. That's always been something that's been a part of me. In fact, I remember one of the first times I remember getting in real trouble was when I filled up a pillowcase full of my toys and went out to this big main area of the apartment complex where we lived when I was real young and gave toys out to all the little kids. And my parents, needless to say, were not so pleased about my decision. But I've always just enjoyed making people smile as much as I can. And but my shyness was pretty much my main hurdle. I wasn't sure that I would ever actually be able to teach. It was always in my heart, I just wasn't sure how the math was going to come together. And so I actually started going to college to be a doctor. I thought that maybe my calling was just to help people on a more one-on-one basis. And that's when I was doing readings and just toying with the medical field. I went to 2 years of pre-med and worked on an ambulance in an emergency room for a little while. And it wasn't long before the angels intervened and said, nope, get to work, get on your mission.
Right. And what did that message sound like? Was it just like you said, or were there sort of other signs that they provided to you?
Oh, fantastic question. You know, a lot of the ways that the angels work is through us. And, we talk about this a lot in the classes. I always ask people, how many of you feel like there's got to be more to life than this, or that, that something's got to change? And the angels have a tendency of coming into our lives and sort of just filling us with that energy. And what it does is it kind of detaches you from whatever may be going on in your life and kind of sends you on a mission. Mm-hmm. What can feel like an open-ended mission sometimes, where you're like, okay, what exactly is my next move? Why am I not feeling satisfied from the things that I thought I was meant to do? And that's exactly what the angels did to me. They kind of uprooted me so that I didn't get any sort of tunnel vision and get focused on a path that would not have been, synchronistic with my mission in life.
Right. Well, that's a good point. So, in other words, the way the angels will show up to us, sometimes it's not like so linear, but yet it's sort of little snapshots, and allowing us, with our free will to also engage in that sort of collaboration with them.
Exactly. I like the way Tina puts it. It's a co-creative process. And what I consider to be the angel's calling card is a sense of confusion in your life. If you're feeling confused, be happy, because that means that you're being called to search for a greater purpose and a more meaningful mission.
Right. Well, thank you for that. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And that's a great point, Charles, actually, the confusion. I think people get sidetracked with that, and then they start to feel very frustrated. But confusion is good, kind of chaos is part of the awakening.
Well, it's part of a restructuring, exactly. I mean, as humans, myself included, we have a natural tendency for complacency, and it's the angel's job to kind of uproot us and just kind of send us scurrying for something that feels like it works. And that sort of transition period is more or less involved for other people, and it's sometimes short, sometimes long. But if you keep an open heart and an open mind, you keep asking for signs, keep asking for guidance, everyone gets there. And I know that might sound a little far-fetched that everyone gets there, but I grew up around this, and I've yet to meet anyone that following their guidance and just keeping their heart open to this, that they have not found a meaningful path and a meaningful outlet for their lives.
Right. Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, I just want to, bring Tina on as well and talk a little bit to her. Tina, tell us a little bit about your background and how you became aware of your gifts and what guided you to, to step into working with the angels as well.
Yeah. Ever since I was a little girl, I always had felt what I now know to be the angels, and I would see certain things, but when you're young, it doesn't really make sense. And so, I kind of went through a period of like not knowing what it is that I was going through or feeling and what have you. And, my mom has told me stories of how I would sit and, talk to, invisible friends, so to speak, which I now don't think were all that invisible, maybe to her. then through life, I actually was an actress for a while. I that was the path that I had taken, and that's what led me from New York out to Los Angeles. And that shift across the country, I went through my own kind of depression and soul searching, because all of a sudden what used to fulfill me my whole life didn't anymore. But it was in that soul searching and in those moments of what I call a dark night of the soul that led me to really explore the Eastern religions and spirituality, meditation, yoga, and the angels. The angels were there every step of the way, which naturally led me to Doreen. And upon taking the angel therapy course, it just, all of a sudden it was, oh, this is what I was seeing all those years. And it was like pieces of the puzzle coming together. Things started to make sense, and everything came full circle of why I was on the path that I was. And it just really transformed from there, of just continuing with it, meditating more, doing more yoga, connecting with the angels. And it just was like I found myself.
Right. Wow. That's a beautiful story, and it is amazing, I find, when people start to open themselves up to this way of being, letting the angels speak to them, and just like you're saying, being very open-minded, really anything is possible. It's just our willingness to embrace, their energy and their guidance, because they will never steer us wrong. It may feel a little uncomfortable, but we know it's all part of, the bigger picture, so...
Yeah, and anybody can too. Like at any moment, wherever you are on your path, you can just invite the angels in, ask for guidance or spirit or the guides or whatever you choose to call it. It's all the same energy. But by just even taking that step, that's how things can just transform. And so that's what Charles and I teach in the classes is, you know, you don't have to have ever had an experience. You just have to have the willingness and the open heart. And then, you know, just with that intention can really begin to feel them, see them, hear them, and know that the angels in a whole new way and begin to make changes in your life. It really can be that simple.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. And I think life is meant to be simple. We hear that all the time in different philosophies and teachings. And certainly, I'm sure, with the angels bringing those messages through quite clear, you know, we weren't meant to suffer. Suffering is sort of our human tendency that we've taken on and accepted. And it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
So wonderful. And you mentioned the course, the Angel Certification. I hope I'm the ACP. I get confused with ATP. So tell us a little bit about your, with the course you guys teach together.
Yeah. I mean, it's based on Doreen's course, the Angel Therapy course, but, it is really all the same material, but just coming through Charles and myself and us bringing our own personal experience as well. So we go through meditations and exercises and have everyone do readings for one another to really help open up that intuition and to give a new understanding to how we can receive messages every day.
And it's taught on the premise that no one needs an angel class. It's all material that people have figured out on their own. It wasn't as if the angels came down, you know, literally and said, this class needs to be structured this way. It was structured as a compilation of knowledge and experience and advice and just everything that people had gone through in my mom's world and in her work building up to this class. And we've taken it, as Tina said, and spun it off in our direction, where it is the same essential lessons, but it's taught in a way that is meant to really help reinforce you that anyone can do this. What we're really wanting to escape from is the thought that you have to be special, you have to be born from a certain family, or you have to be gifted in order to work with the angels. It's really important, and it's a huge passion of both Tina and I that, you know, whether they learn from a class or just from asking the angels themselves, that humanity learns that now is the time to allow happiness into our lives. The angels are here to heal the world. They're here to help us to allow happiness into our lives. And so the reason why we teach the class is that some people just want to learn, you know, a lot over 3 days. And, you know, so while we always say it's not necessary to take the class to communicate with angels, it really can fast track you. You can really get things rolling. And that's kind of, you know, why we do it. And, you know, we've had a chance to talk to many of our students who have taken the class, and, you know, it's pretty much what they say that reinforces us to keep doing it. You know, and you stay, you know, 90% of our time on airplanes.
Right. Wow. And I see that from your website, too, you teach these classes literally all over the world. How was that experience for you guys?
Well, it's, to me, it just further strengthens our mission, you know, because it's always been taught that angels are non-denominational. But since it was so popular in America, it had kind of a Christian type, you know, association, just because of the word angels and because of biblical terms. And we've taught in countries where Christianity is not the main religion. And we've had Buddhists, we've had Hindus, people from Muslim backgrounds, and it's just been really amazing to see that no matter where you go in the world, literally every country, every group of people, the energy is exactly the same. The questions, the experiences, the things that they're going through, it's all the same, further reinforcing that, you know, there's something really tangible and amazing happening right now.
Right. And let me ask you further on that. In your experience throughout the years, you know, both Charles and Tina, have you noticed that more and more frequently people are really being open to this, you know, sort of way of being, you know, communicating with the angels as opposed to maybe, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago? I just feel energetically like the world is shifting. And like you're saying, we, you know, the time is now. So what is your take on really what the way things are going and how much more do you foresee, if you can, if that's even a question? So I hope I'm making sense with what I'm saying.
I totally agree with you. If you look back to, you know, years ago compared to now, there has been a shift, and now things are even moving faster. And even with the coming of 2012, which I believe is another shift in consciousness, where we're all being asked to really step into our power and embrace our spiritual selves and move forward. If you even look at the programs that are around on television, how it much shifted, and how whether it's a reality show or even, you know, different movies and television shows, they're talking about spiritual topics. And that shows so much, where it's not so taboo and it's not so airy-fairy, and more people are opening up, and more people are finding, you know, different, maybe new age authors or, you know, self-help books that then lead them by connecting the dots to perhaps Doreen Virtue or a Wayne Dyer or, you know, what have you. And so my feeling, and even in my own meditations of connecting with my angels, is that, you know, it's moving faster and faster, and people are opening up more and more. And it's really, really a beautiful thing to see, and a great time to be doing this work, because even as teachers, you know, Charles and I, just this last weekend, we taught here in Los Angeles, and one of the students, and it doesn't always happen this way, but after going through one of the exercises, she said, "Is it really this easy?" And it was awesome to hear that, because, you know, she didn't come from any background necessarily of knowing what to do, but just even having her be open to what she was feeling and seeing and hearing, she was like, wow, and she like left feeling so like fulfilled that it can be that easy if you just let go. And so I think that more and more that's happening. We're seeing doctors and lawyers. We had a lawyer in our class. We've had, you know, nurses, like from all different backgrounds in these different countries coming. And so it's just so awesome that whatever field you're in, whether you're taking the route of doing angel therapy or some kind of intuitive work, or if you're just taking the energy and bringing it to whatever job it is, that more and more people are opening up.
Right. Absolutely. And I love how you mentioned, you know, sort of the different people and their different backgrounds. And it doesn't take somebody who studies metaphysics or even just being open to it. You know, I think everybody, you know, the calling is out there. So people are really starting to listen. I want to touch base a little bit. You mentioned just, you know, letting go. And I imagine that's probably a very huge block in listening to Charles's background as well in the classes. So, you know, sort of letting go of the fears, releasing the blocks and the beliefs that are getting in the way. What do you do in your courses to help people, you know, sort of let go? I mean, that can be quite a challenge.
Working without the angels, I would imagine that would be quite a challenge, but you'd be really surprised that whether you're a reader, a speaker, author, or a teacher, when you open yourself up to bring their messages into, you know, and translate them into from energy into a language that can be understood easily by the humans around you, they speak through you. And it really comes down to, one, explaining about the angels and exactly what role the angels serve, in the sense that the angels are messengers. The word angel means messenger, and that in order to be qualified to communicate with angels, you just have to be of God or of heaven. And so we automatically meet that qualification. And then we talk a lot about the different ways the angels have been communicating with us throughout our entire lives, through the feelings, the thoughts, the visions, and things that we've heard. And we allow the class to really experiment with the energy in reading practices, sitting with a person that they've never met before, and just allowing the angels in that moment to bring through any messages, if there's any to come through, and just feel it firsthand in an environment where you don't feel judged, where fear just feels unnecessary. And I think that's part of what Tina and I both bring to this, is that we've both been students. We've both been through the fear and the confusion. And it could all seem so daunting when you think about it on the surface, but when you just sit back and allow, and I know that can sound, you know, to someone who hasn't done that, that can sound just so meaningless and empty. But really, that is such a powerful way to go about it, is just the less you do, the more you do. When you sit back and allow and keep yourself open to the angels, they come through to you. And we see that time and time again all over the world. So it's really just a matter of experimentation, really.
Right. And I love how you share that, you know, this is a place of non-judgmental and just practicing and really, you know, very sacred place. I'm certain of your workshops. I know when I took the class with your mom a couple years ago, I remember her specifically saying, everything is part of the reading and just spit it out, you know, and let yourself experience that. And it's okay. You know, this is the place to sort of surrender that. And even if it doesn't make any sense to you, it doesn't matter. You know, it could make sense to the person you're practicing with. So I found great comfort in that, you know, and that's the beauty of it. It's like, maybe it's okay if it doesn't make sense to me, but perhaps that person will resonate with the message I'm giving them.
Yeah. And we, you know, we talk about that as well, of everything being part of the reading. And we also talk about the fact that it's impossible to get nothing. And so in the classes, we tell people, if you don't feel as if a message came through, then just start talking about how this experience feels for you. Just let the energy start flowing, because if you wait to feel ready, and this is actually all encompassing with when it comes to spirituality and progress in life, if you wait to feel ready, you may be waiting for a long time, but if you just decide, I'm going to let the energy flow, and a small example of that is when they're doing the reading experimentation in class, it's just, talk about how you feel. Let the energy start flowing, and you may be amazed with what comes through.
Right, right. Very good. Well, wonderful. I want to talk a little bit about the angels, and actually, I want to ask you guys a question. So, guardian angels, do we have, you know, how many guardian angels, and are they with us, or do they change throughout our lifetimes? What have you heard about guardian angels, if you could share with everybody?
Sure. Well, in my experience in doing many, many readings and research and meditation with tons of different teachers, we all have at least two guardian angels. And these are angels that have been with us from the moment we take our very first breath till the moment that we take our last breath. So they are always with us. There's a soul contract on the other side before we even incarnate. So whereas spirit guides may come in and out of our lives and may change depending on what we're going through at the present time, our guardian angels are always there. And I have seen, there have been some people that I have seen more than two, but I always in a reading see at least two. One is that loving presence that's there to just guide and support, that's there as just that like best friend, that mother, that maternal kind of presence. And the other is more of, like, I love what Charles says, it's like the nudging angel, the one that's, you know, trying to get you to step out of your comfort zone, take that next step, bring in, you know, that next step of your path. And so these two beings are always with us, whether we believe that they're there or not, whether we feel them there or not, they're there.
Right. And when people call upon their angels for guidance, for example, would they call upon their guardian angels, or what is the role of our guardian angel?
Well, you know, a lot of people ask that question. It's a really good question, because some people get overwhelmed with all the different beings around us and, well, how do I tune in and do I have to? There's no one way or any right way, so to speak, to call in the angels. It's in all reality, it's all one consciousness to begin with. And coming through as different energies to help support us, as messenger energy, which is what angels are. However, for those of us that want to really tune in more specifically, we can call in the guardian angels, for example, or the archangels, or the spirit guides, and get to know who they are, get to know how they're working with us, get to know when they come through, how it feels, or what they look like, where they stand in relation to us, and how they appear. So we have the abilities to do that. And so it's really personal preference. Some people just like to keep it simple and like to just say, angels, help, or angels, what's the message? And just have it go very simply that way. Others like to say, what's my guardian angel's name? Let me feel the energy of my guardian angel, so that when he or she comes through, you know, I feel it. And then maybe now let me tune into Archangel Michael, or now I want to know who my spirit guides are. They're all around to guide us and help us. And so if we want to work with more beings, we can call them in and ask to have more people come in and help us. But it isn't necessarily on your path if you're not feeling so inclined to have to do it that way, you know? So the guardian angels, like I said, are there to really just be that loving presence that is always with us, to help us make sure that even while we're sleeping, that we're checking in to see how the soul is kind of progressing according to the soul plan before we incarnated. And then when we awake, helping to assist us in that. And then all the other archangels or beings will come in, you know, as needed for specific parts of our life, maybe going through some kind of trauma, maybe going through some kind of new birth of something new. And so that is what can change.
Right. And absolutely, I absolutely agree with you. And I say that to people. I said, you know, nothing's off the table. You know, everything's up for grabs. You can ask them for anything. Is it possible to ask them for too much? I know some people I speak with are like, well, I got all kinds of problems and, you know, there's so much going on. And I say, listen, that is their duty, is to be there for us. So what is your take? Do you feel that there's ever too much that we could ask, or is too much sort of a way of creating a block where, you know, sometimes we need to sort of like, okay, let me ask and then, you know, sort of get out of the way? Because I find there is sort of the link between that, where too much, that's okay, but then let them do their job.
Yeah, there's a couple ways of thinking about that. I like to go straight to the source when it comes to determining for myself what is and is not appropriate. Of course, you know, I grew up hearing, you can ask the angels for anything, the angels will bring you anything. So that helped me a little, but what you really have to think about when you're asking yourself this question is, why do the angels even exist? You know, what role would they serve if humans weren't on this planet? And of course, they work with animals and all of that, but and I'm not trying to say that that's a less important mission, but the angels exist because God's frequency is so high and so pure that it can be difficult for a lot of people to hear the voice of God and communicate directly with God when we have, the stress and the, you know, negativity and the lower energy and, you know, the lower vibration and alcohol and, poisonous food for our bodies, you know, within us. And God knows this. God realizes that, you know, we can't all be in that Zen moment all the time and still maintain our lives. And so that's why the angels are there. It's the extension and the voice of God that no matter what energy we're in, the angels can and will communicate with us. And so I always think about that in the sense that angels exist because we exist. And so there could be no too much. There could be none. I mean, they're infinite energy. They don't think about things the same way we do. There is no on and off. There is no beginning and end with their conversation or their presence. And so I find in my life that the angels are overjoyed the more that I let them in. And it's so amazing that the more you let them in, the more they in turn start communicating with you clearer. It's just about allowing. And as humans, we have all sorts of earthly type comparisons and excuses as to why, oh, this time I'm not going to ask the angels, you know, because they helped me last week. So I'm going to give them a break. When the angels are standing there going, okay, if you want to limit yourself that way, it's your life. You're here to learn whatever lessons you can in the time allotted. But just know that we're always here. And, depending on the severity or the importance of the situation, sometimes the angels will just say, okay, I don't care if you won't want to ask us. We're going to intervene because this is your life path.
Right. Well, in expanding on that, what are some of the ways that we can notice the messages that they're bringing to us? Like, what are some of the sort of obvious ways that they show us, hey, here we are, we're bringing you a message?
Yeah, and in the day one of the class, we go through some of the more, obvious is kind of a relative term, but we go through some of the ways, the definitive ways that angels do communicate, in that we call them the clair words, C-L-A-I-R. I'm sure you remember that from ATP and other publications as well. But we talk about clairsentience, for example, which is clear feeling. And the angels communicate with us through what our bodies are naturally attracted to or repelled against, or those times where we just get up and we get on the computer and we write something down, or we contact someone that we haven't thought of in a long time, or we just go do something. There's a lot of different ways that angels work with us through the feeling and the natural inclinations of our body and our energy. And then there's clairvoyance, where it's what we see with our physical or our mind's eye. And dreams can be messages, visions that come through during daydreams, what you're guided to see in your daily life, such as signs that you see. If you're seeing repeated numerical signs, or if you see your name or your birthday somewhere, or anything that you see that kind of distracts your attention from wherever it may have been in the moment, is what we call a sign. Also, with what we hear, a lot of people, myself included, hear lyrics and songs that seem to resonate almost completely with a moment or a situation that's active in our lives, and you know, and also our claircognizance, that you know, what we think. The times where the angels will just give us knowledge, they'll just give us the know-how or give us the answer to something in our lives. And, you know, it's one of those things where the communication is obviously considered and sometimes more subtle than the type of communication that we're taking, you know, we're participating in right now. But it's all about remembering that this is energy. You know, the energy has to be translated by our bodies. And, you know, it starts off sometimes subtle and feeling unrecognizable for some people, but it's just one of those things that, you know, when you open yourself up to it, and we do a lot of work in class with opening ourselves up and calling in specific angels to help clear and release anything from this lifetime or past lifetime that would cause us to willingly block out those messages, or fear, trauma that may cause us to be afraid to use our gifts.
Right. I guess what I meant obvious, and I love all that you shared, of course. I know for me, I see a lot of numerical patterns, a lot of ones. I may find coins on the ground, you know, sort of those things. And I hear people say that as well, you know, like, I see this all the time. What does it mean, you know? But when you take a step back, it's like, well, I'd say to them, well, what were you asking? Have you been asking for something? And a lot of times it's confirmation or just recognition to let them know, like, hey, I'm here, you know, and you can continue to ask me. So
precisely. And we talk a lot about the purpose and the underlying premise of all of this angel stuff is that we chose happiness in this lifetime when we came to be into this body, and we chose a purpose that will bring us fulfillment, that when we wake up in the morning, we know why we're alive and we know what it is that we're meant to do. And sometimes just seeing a sign that seems otherwise innocuous or otherwise meaningless, you know, if you're educated about signs, it could be the most powerful moment, because it lets you know that you are on your path. I consider signs the breadcrumbs down the trail of our soul path, sort of Hansel and Gretel. And when you see one, it just kind of gives you that feeling that no matter what my life looks like right now, whatever I'm happy with or not happy with, I'm on my path, and everything that I'm experiencing right now is meant to be. And as you said, it's a confirmation that the angels are there, and it's beautiful. And the more you ask, believe me, the more you see.
I have a funny question. And do they like to be appreciated? Do the angels want to hear us say, you know, thank you for that? I'm going to say yes, but tell me your angle on that.
Yeah, you know, we definitely always keep ourselves in a place of gratitude, and Tina talks a lot about that during the classes. Of, you know, even if you feel like you only got one thing or one small message, be grateful for that, because it's the gratitude, and I'm quoting Tina here, that allows more energy to come through. But we need to remember, we don't have to kiss up to the angels. We don't have to allow ourselves to feel guilty as if they're our employers, or as if they're, you know, our wealthy uncle who's doing us favors. It's not the same. They're not going to get sick of us. And so there are times where I've put my foot down. You know, and traveling is, you know, obviously it's an honor and a privilege to be able to travel, but it's not the easiest thing in the world. Right. There's a lot about your lifestyle that you lose when you spend so much time on the road. And there's been times, like, for example, with meeting Tina, where I told the angels, I said, look, I can't do this alone anymore. I need someone to be with me. And it was miraculous, because I just put my foot down and I said, you know what, angels, I'm going to go back to medical school if I have to keep doing this alone, because it's just not for me. I'm a very social person. And, you know, and sometimes that's necessary. Sometimes we need to be in that place where we almost literally yell at the angels, because when you say your requests in that place, you are absent of fear. You're not thinking, oh my God, what if this doesn't happen? You're now in a place where you're like, I have nothing to lose, because if they'll either come through for me or I'm going to make an alternative decision. And you're not processing to yourself, oh my God, what if it doesn't happen? You're thinking, okay, fine. It's either one way or another. And it's that absence of fear. It's that lack of, you know, sending doubt energy out with our manifestations that can sometimes be so transformational and powerful.
Right. Right. Well, let's hold that thought. We need to take a quick commercial break, Charles and Tina. Commercial is from Psychic Access. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing, and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. We are here talking to Charles Virtue and Tina Marie Daly about angels, of course. So let's just move along, because this is such a fascinating conversation. I love how you were talking about angels and not feeling like, hey, we need to kiss up to them. And I also liked how you talked about, you know, for you personally, where you got to the point where you just surrendered. You know, you just said, listen, it's this, or I'm going to go back to medical school and, you know, pursue that path. Do you find in your working with people who are ready to open the door now to work with them have gotten to their, I don't want to say bottom, but it's just basically where they're like, I'm done. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, you know, it is about surrender. I think that word that you brought up is the perfect word, is that the angels want to navigate our vehicle, if you could think about that metaphorically. And they want us to stop hearing, you know, to stop turning left when they're clearly, you know, allowing us to feel that turning right is the correct option. And sometimes it takes, you know, getting past our logical mind and getting past our left brain and just saying, okay, angels, you figure this out.
And that's okay. We can ask them that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we still do it from a place of gratitude. We just do it from a place where fear isn't an option.
Right. Well, that's a bold statement. And I certainly hope a lot of people can follow that. How do you help people break through that fear? And also, I want to touch base on the logical mind, because, you know, getting up in the head can be a very disturbing place, and, you know, where we listen to our thoughts and not so much what our, you know, the guidance that we're bringing through. So how do we, let me phrase this differently. How do we know the messages are divine messages, as opposed to, let's say, our ego or the kind of fear based? How do you teach a little bit about that in your classes as well?
Extensively, because it's such an important part, an essential part of communicating with the angels. And we talk about the breakdown, the premise, and the description of what angelic guidance is. It's always positive. And so the angels don't tell us, oh, don't turn left or don't open that door. Instead, they'll guide us to which direction we should turn or which door we should open. They don't put us in a place of fear or a place of, oh my God. And angelic guidance is always repetitive. And that's one thing that a lot of people need to remember, is that if you are not sure if a message that came through was from the angels and it's not concrete or clear enough for you to take any action on it, then don't. There's what we call divine timing that we have to take into consideration. And sometimes the angels just want us to prepare for change. They just want to come into our lives and let us know that something needs to be changed or something should be changed. And they don't necessarily tell us what it is, but they put us energetically in a place where we become more ready for change. And it's a more or less involved process for each individual, just depending on where they are in their lives. But angelic guidance, as consistent as it is, we don't worry oh, should I act on that message? Was that angelic guidance? Because the angels don't confuse us that way. They know what it will take for us to take action. They know what it will take for us to clearly hear them. And when we're meant to make a move based on their guidance, we will know without a doubt. And so I always tell people in the classes, just wait. If you don't feel comfortable acting, then don't. Wait for the message to come back. And when it comes back with the exact energy, then you know that it's real guidance. And it's really a matter of practice. You don't often pick this up overnight. But if you know the rules, if you know what to look for and what to expect, then when these moments come, you feel more prepared. And there's a lot of patience involved. So it's not like learning how to cook or something like that. It's definitely a process where when you start working with the angels, you start working to take energetic accountability for yourself and your life, and start learning that you have to feel yourself and surround yourself with the energy of what you do want, and let your fears be handed over to the angels, because that's what they want to clear for us.
And the beauty of working with the angels is that you can't miss their messages if you are putting in the intention and the effort to communicate with them. It's not like they give up. It's not like they give you a message once and then, as you know, Charles jokes around in class, then run around the corner and like leave you hanging. You know, they will keep up giving you whatever messages are important until you get it. And I think that's so beautiful, because I think some people get so worried, oh, what if I miss it? Or what if I didn't figure it out, and so now I'm on my own? It doesn't work that way. You know, as Charles said, it's, you know, there's divine timing. And so, you know, at the appropriate and perfect time that you're meant to see or feel or sense whatever the message is and be able to discern it is when it's going to happen. And so, yes, there's patience involved. Yes, there's trust involved and surrender. But those are all major life lessons. And this is the way we learn them, through going through them, through having the opportunity to maybe not get the message right the first time, but then have the trust and the perseverance to see it through. And the angels are just, you know, I always tell, we tell our students, they're always talking to us. There's signs all the time. It's just us to be aware of it and to be awake for it to spark.
Right. Right. Very well. I mean, it's perfect. I love that. And one of the things that came to me as I was listening to you guys speak about, you know, that you'll just keep getting messages. And one thing I've noticed is, like, if you don't, let's say you're not paying attention, or you're just in sort of a place where you don't know what's going on, then I feel that they're going to come in and bring a situation where you're almost going to be like, okay, now it's time to take action, because we've been coming after you and you're not listening, because yeah, you've been asking for help. Here we are, and you haven't responded yet. You know, in terms of, let's say people want to change their job, and they're not doing anything, and all of a sudden they get laid off. So sort of those experiences, which I see as positive, you know, I see those things as, you know, the angelic intervention. So I guess my question is, I'm sorry, go ahead. Did you want to say something?
No, I was just saying I love that angelic intervention, because yes, you know, a lot of people think, oh, okay, well, I'm going to pray for patience, and then, you know, a magic wand comes around and boom, you have patience. No, you know, you pray for patience, you will sit in LA traffic in rush hour, and you'll be forced to, you know, find a way to be present and embrace the moment and be patient, because that's what you asked for. And so kind of like what you're saying too, you know, if you're looking for that new job and you know that your job is done and you're just hanging on, but you're clearly getting the guidance that it's draining you and you're miserable, then, you know, sooner or later, yeah, it could be that angelic intervention where you get laid off or something happens to get you to move to that next step, not to put you in any kind of danger or to make you suffer, but to help you take that step. But I love that term. I love that angelic intervention. It happens a lot with, you know, people, the angels coming through telling us we need to rest, or we need to take better care of ourselves, or we need to receive more than give, and we don't listen, and then what happens? We get sick. We get real tired and are in bed, or, you know, perhaps, you know, come up with some kind of illness because we're not listening, we're not taking care of ourselves. So it's definitely angelic intervention, and it's all to help us move forward.
Of course. And that's why they're here, you know, to help us, even if the situation that shows up is like, that doesn't feel comfortable for me. We still know in our core that it's right. It's right. You know, it's time. So perfect. Thank you, guys. We have just about 5 minutes or so. I want to talk about, Charles, you have some new products and things coming out. Angel Indigo cards, if I'm not mistaken, and a book on manifestation. Can you share with our listeners when we could expect that? And I certainly the angels guided you to create this.
Yeah, the Indigo Angel Oracle deck is a creation I've done with my mother, who's been gracious enough to co-write something again with me. And that's going to be expected in 2013. They're complete, but they have to taper what they release, apparently. And so we're you know, very grateful and amazed to be able to put these cards together to work with, help the Indigo understand their purpose. And we really hope that it can help people understand the Indigo as well. So we're real excited about that. And I am currently, as you mentioned, writing a book on manifestation called Divine Manifestation that is based on the premise that happiness is not only a want for us, but it's a purpose. It's a destiny for us. And that there's certain things in our lives that we just know we're meant for. We just know we're meant to do. And this book talks about not being afraid of our manifestations, whether they be based in material or whether they be for health or for a better job or to find that perfect place to live. And the book is taking a long time because I'm trying out and obviously firsthand experimenting with every single principle that I'm putting in the book. But mm-hmm. I talk a lot about the different types of ways that people manifest and that there's incorrect ways. Some people will manifest what I call comparative manifesting, where they see other people or another person happy with something and then just assume that that same thing will bring them an equal level of happiness, when in actuality they have a completely unique path. And the manifestation process of that, while it's definitely still possible, it might turn out to be, I hate to say the word waste of time, but it might turn out that, you know, there could have been something more meaningful for your individual path that you could have been manifesting all along.
So it's more intentional, on purpose manifestation, sort of being really present and aware of what you wanted to draw into your life.
Exactly. And that, I find that that's so important with manifestation, because we, you know, we need to be specific, and we also need to break down and ask ourselves, why am I manifesting this? Because it's less about what we're actually manifesting than it is about how what we're manifesting will ultimately make us feel. And so while there's definitely some work with specific manifestation, a lot of times I help people in both of my classes and private clients just kind of release whatever it is they might be manifesting. I've taught manifestation classes where I tell people, just forget what it is that you want, and let's focus on how you want to feel, and trust that what the angels bring us and guide us to will be that ultimate, will bring that fulfillment or that happiness or that completion that we're after.
Right, because ultimately, why are we desiring such a thing, a product, a person? It's because of, we think we're going to gain something internally, when in essence, we can create that internally first without necessarily having it. And then that sort of energy draws it in much quicker, if I'm hearing what you're saying correctly.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's still a work in progress, so I don't have all the principles down exactly. So you're definitely, you know, definitely correct in what you said, and that, you know, there's a lot of just preparing our energy first to be able to attract, but not only be able to attract, but be able to keep and maintain whatever it is that we manifest. Because a lot of people I've worked with, and myself included, will manifest something, and then once we get it, it triggers some fear or something inside of us, and we scurry to either sabotage or get rid of whatever it is that we've manifested, and then all of a sudden we're back to square one.
Right. And we're manifesting all the time. Most of the time we're not aware of it.
Yeah. Our what is in your energy? I say it that we're a magnet that's polarized to whatever energy we're allowing to be within us, and that if we're focusing on our fears, you know, get ready for them. If you're focusing on what you want, then just know that any fears that come up are natural. So just process them, release them to the angels, and go back to staying in that place of just refusing to accept defeat, that you were born to be happy. Your desire for happiness is one of the most powerful desires you have. So why not embrace that and see what can come of it?
Absolutely. And knowing the angels have our back every step of the way.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, listen, guys, I really, really appreciate your being here this evening. It's an awesome show. And please tell us your websites once again for everybody, and so they can find out your classes and your workshops and follow you guys around the world to this amazing work that you're both doing. So,
yeah, you could go to charlesvirtue.com and tinamariedaily.com. And we have both all of our events there. And you can also find us on Facebook as well, because we're always announcing things there as well.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you once again. We really appreciate your time and sharing this beautiful message from the angels and the work that you guys do. It's much needed. So thank you once again.
Thank you so much for having us on. This has been wonderful.
Yeah, thank you for spreading your message. It's been absolutely fantastic.
Have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Wow, wonderful. Thank you so much again. And like to just make a few announcements. So I hope everybody enjoyed the show. So be sure to visit our bloggers. I'm going to talk about our psychic bloggers. Our psychics work hard to submit blogs every week, every day. And Doug, make sure those are posts up for reading. So anything from reincarnation to psychic development, that's psychicbloggers.com. And of course, if you're interested in getting a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. It's certainly an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All the co-hosts here on the Psychic Viewpoint are at Psychic Access. So if you'd like a reading from any one of us, please be sure to go to psychicaccess.com, and we'd love to hear from you. And by the way, site owners and webmasters, you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. You can find those details at psychicaccess.com/webmasters. We need to get like a little recording that says psychicaccess.com so I can push a button every time. But I think you guys get the message. So sorry, it's just my angel humor. Anyway, if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. So much for everybody, and we appreciate you spreading the word. So thank you again for that. And let me just provide the call-in number, please. We are not taking callers until about the next 15 to 20 minutes. I will announce that once again, 724-444-4851. So just keep that handy, and I promise I will let you know when we're going to take your calls. So we're going to just jump into the bantering here. I know the co-hosts are probably anxious to talk. I do a lot of talking, so I'm anxious to have them join me. So let me start with Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How'd you enjoy the show?
It was lovely. I really liked them. I like the way they talk about everything. It's clear, you know?
Yeah. It is, absolutely. So I want to ask you, who is your favorite archangel?
Michael. I just love him. I call him in for everything. I sit in my car and I call him. I have a necklace and my son's name Michael. And I don't know. I just always related to him.
And he helps you with what? What do you call him for when you?
Whenever I'm panicked, I call him in. Just, you know, if I'm lonely, I call him. I just love being near him. I don't know what it is.
It's the energy of him, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny, when my son was being born, like when he was in my tummy, I was always like, his name has to be Michael. You know, it's just, I don't know, just something I do, I guess.
I'm sure he's happy you do that as well.
Yeah. But it was a great show. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm glad they were able to join us. So let me move on then. We have Steve. Are you with us, Steve?
Yes, I'm here. What a great show, Jackie.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. They're great energy, those two. So do you tell us some of your stories about working with angels?
Well, as I said earlier on, I completed the Doreen Virtue Angel Therapy program a few years ago in Hawaii. And it was just after I'd left a relationship and I'd moved to the States from the UK. I'd left my family and everything I knew behind for my new life. And I decided to go and do the angel therapy program in Hawaii. And there's an amazing guy called Evren Ozan that Doreen has on the angel therapy workshops. And he channels music, Native American Indian music. He was able to play Native American Indian music when he was very, very young. Just an incredible guy. And he plays music during the workshop. And there was one particular piece of music that he played that was for healing. And I just broke down. I think that I'd stored up so much stress and so much sadness. And I just broke down and I couldn't stop crying, and I was really embarrassed because there were so many people on the workshop. And I remember saying, "Somebody, please help me! Somebody, stop me from crying! I don't want to be a blabbering mess in the middle of this meditation." And I opened my eyes, and Jesus was standing on the stage at the front of the conference room. Amazing, really huge, and he just laughed at me. And I just thought, well, I never imagined that Jesus would have a wonderful sense, would have a sense of humor, and that he would just laugh at me. But he just laughed, and I just started laughing as well. And I just couldn't believe the experience. That was one of my first experiences and the first time I saw Jesus. And I remember on a radio show about a year ago, a lady called in and I took her call and started giving her a reading, and I said to her, the name Michael comes up really clearly, and it has two meanings for you. One, it's a Michael in spirit, but also Archangel Michael wants you to know that he's here for you. And she just said, oh my goodness, I was praying while I was waiting on hold to get through to the show. I was praying for Archangel Michael. I was saying, Archangel Michael, you're the one I want. Just show me that you're around. And we were all just blown away by the fact that he came through in response to her prayer. So those are two really powerful experiences I've had with angels. And I have to say, you know, when I was younger, I was always obsessed with evidence from spirit, and particularly evidence with mediumship. Right. And I always thought of the angels as, you know, fluffy, and I thought, oh, I'm not so interested. And it was such a mistake. And I learned that they're ever present and we can call upon them anytime.
Wow. What a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that with us, Steve.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Hi, Maureen. Are you there? It's your turn. Okay.
All in. It's lovely.
Oh, thank you. So what do you think about angels, Maureen?
Well, I was raised raised Catholic, and I also was in Catholic school in the 60s, which was tormenting. And
sorry, I can feel for you.
It was tormenting. And, you know, because the one real great thing about Catholicism was the angels and all the candles and all the, you know, the beauty of the traditions, the rituals that were involved. Actually, I did go back later and make peace with it just because of that. But there was one thing that was really disturbing when I was growing up, is that I was very confused about angels and saints. And also we were taught angels, also the fallen angels. So we were taught about this intense stuff that even whatever experiences we might have been having, it was torment. Because I was, you know, we don't talk about saints, but what are the saints? Are they angels? Are they different? Are they separate? So when I was growing up, I was just trying to make sense of all this, and also about people that, to me, that are earth angels. I mean, I've run across people that I would have to say, like I said, I always talk about, I don't believe in anything. All I know is what I know. And mm-hmm. I do know that I've had some very wonderful people cross my path, maybe for a short moment, maybe for longer than that. But they've always, some people have just been so, just so bright. It's not angelic, because I don't see angels as being like with the wings and stuff, like Steve was talking about fluffy, right. Stuffy and such. But it's like angel is a pretty big word for, I think, that could cover a lot of things, like the saints or human beings. For me, that's what I just always kind of, that's what I've come to think anyway, mm-hmm. that I've just met some really great people. Like I said, and it may have been just for a moment they crossed my path when I needed help. I was in a situation that was pretty dire or something. Here's a good thing. One time I had a problem with my car. I don't know. Nobody would stop to help me, but a woman stopped to help me. A woman.
Good for her.
Actually, more than one time this has happened with the car situation. So I've always looked around, and it turns out that I've always actually been around for women that when they're in car situations. Actually, it's funny because it seems like I've been there for women that the guys aren't there. But you know, there's certain situations like that. You know, I'm wondering, and you never see these people again, and they're gone.
Yes.
But silly as it may be, who are these people?
And what do you think?
I think that there's angelic and everything. It's just, it's all love.
Yes. Well, like like Charles and Tina were saying, it's the energy, you know, spirits, guides, whatever. But it is sort of the love at the core of it's the energy. We label things, I think, to create some structure and understanding. And I'm not saying angels aren't real. I certainly believe they are. But I think sometimes when we give it a name, then we start putting sort of distorting our perception of what it is, because like you were saying, being brought up Catholic, sort of having that confusion around, you know, saints and angels, and I believe them to be one and the same. It's what are they representing? You know, what do they represent? Unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Maureen. Was there anything else? Or we're good. Okay.
I'm done, yeah.
Okay. Okay, I just want to make sure I didn't want to cut you off or anything. So let me jump to Sharon again. Hey, Sharon.
Hi.
Okay, so Sharon, let me ask you a question. Before your husband showed up in your life, you had an angel by your door every night. Can you tell us about him and who you think he was?
Well, I used to hear the name Gabriel, so I don't know if it was Archangel Gabriel, but there was a man, and he would stand at the door, and he would lean against the door, he was all in black, but it was a nice presence, and it was like a protection, and he stood right at my bedroom door, and he just stayed there all night, and then in the morning, he would still be there, and then he would be gone, but when I met my husband, he was gone, so it was almost like he was my protector or something until my husband came into my life, I miss him sometimes because I was so used to him being there, but it was a really neat presence.
So perhaps he was filling the space until your husband showed up, and then he was no longer needed.
Or just if I, you know, maybe because I was alone with the kids, maybe I'd be nervous or whatever. I was never nervous because he was there, you know. And then obviously when my husband came, I wasn't nervous anyways, right? So. You know how you get that, you know, when you're alone and you just, yeah.
Well, sure. There's always some sort of, you know, like maybe your mind's playing tricks on you or getting you, you know, thinking about and worrying about. But I guess his presence took care of that, you know, and gave you a sense of peace.
Yeah, and he always stood the same way, and he always had he would rest his back against the door and like sort of side, you know, a little bit, and it was nice. I miss him sometimes.
How long did this go on for? Sharon?
Well, for years. It was like I was divorced from my first husband, and I'm not trying to do this big husband thing, but it's and then he was there. So it was really nice. It was, you know, I have no idea who it was, but I did hear Gabriel, so I don't know if it was Archangel Gabriel, but
right.
That would be nice.
did you ever think about finding out after? Did you ask, or you just sort of forgot?
It just was part of everything, you know, I didn't even ask. But are you picking up something of who it was?
I guess what I'm saying is it would be interesting to see what the message was, but I think intuitively you knew. You know, and it probably would be a confirmation like, yeah, listen, honey, I'm sorry. Like, I got your back. I got your, I'm covering you. I'm taking care of you. And Archangel Gabriel is about communication. So I think if you wanted to know, and if that's who you received, he would communicate that to you.
Right. I think it just became so normal that I didn't really question it. You know, now that you're saying it, I probably should have. But.
Oh, I'm just saying it's curious. I'm curious. So if you do find out, please let me know.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Hi, Steve. Welcome again. Okay. Steve, are you with us or you're... Okay.
I am with you, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Sorry, I've been really careful to keep both my headset and my computer on mute so that there's no background noise, but then I press my mute button on my headset and forget that the computer's muted as well.
Sounds like a lot of techie stuff. Are we still in retrograde?
I think we are, actually.
Okay.
I think we are, but does it end on the 26th?
I have no idea. Hopefully
I'm sure we still are.
Okay, I think we're doing okay, though.
Well, it's not Mercury retrograde, it's just me.
Oh, okay. Well, we can blame it on the retrograde. I think that'll be okay.
Okay, it's convenient.
We'll let you off the hook. So, you shared a lot about your experience with the angels. Let me ask you a different question. Do you receive any physical symbols from the angels? What does that look like for you?
I do. When I feel... somebody in spirit drawing very close, I get a physical sensation on my back. So I feel, well, I can be reading psychically for a client, and then when somebody from spirit draws in to communicate with the client, my left shoulder, the back of my upper back on the left goes very, very cold. And as the person in spirit communicates and draws even closer to share information and evidence with the client, then that sensation spreads across my back. So I always know from the angels that they're drawing somebody in close to communicate with the client and to give evidence because of that sensation on my back, starting with my shoulder. And many people feel physical sensations when they're working with spirit. You know, the energy moves us, and the energy can be detected physically.
Right.
So there are wonderful signs that the angels and our guides will give us to show us that there's an important message about to come through.
That's a good point. I do also receive a physical sensation. It's like my body buzzes when I'm bringing through a message. And what happens is when I'm delivering it, and as I, because I, mine come like downloads. So as I start to speak, it just continues to flow. And then when I'm working with somebody and then all of a sudden it'll be like, I'll feel like this whole sensation. I'm like, okay, I hear you. I feel you. I guess I'm on the right track, you know? So it's a confirmation for me. It's actually, I think it's pretty cool. I love it all. So I think it's pretty awesome. So, thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Was there anything else? Was there anything else you would like to add?
No, that was the point I had, Jackie.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Thank you. Okay. Sharon, we're going to go back to you.
Okay.
if you're ready.
I'm ready. I'm always ready.
So let's see. Another interesting here you have want me to ask you about, an experience with an earth angel. If you would like to share that with us, that'd be cool.
Okay. Sometimes I what happens is I remember one incident really, really in particular. I was on the GO train and I heard in my head, you're going to see an angel. And I thought, that's weird, right? But then I got off the GO train. Everybody around me started to slow down. And there was this one lady, and she was really peculiar. Like, it looked like she just took all her clothes out of the package, and she was sitting there, all new clothes. And she looked different, you know? And I thought, whoa, this lady's... And I walked right by her, and she was asking me for money. And I thought, that's weird. Like, and I kind of walked by her looking at her, and everybody around was all in slow motion. And then I went back. I had $10 on me, something, and I handed it to her. And she just smiled. And then I can't even remember the conversation. But I know I was there for a while. Felt like forever. And then I went to walk away. Everything went fast, and she disappeared. And I'll never remember what she said to this day. But I'm so glad whatever happened. But it was really neat.
Wow,
that happens sometimes. Yeah.
Right. It's interesting. That made me think of a story. My mother went to, they cruise often, actually. Her and my father, they retired, so they cruise around the world. Mm-hmm. And she was having an experience one day. She was feeling a little melancholy, and my father, you know, I love him, but he doesn't engage in emotional conversations. So my mother was feeling a little frustrated. So anyway, she was saying how, I don't know, I forgot the story, but basically she wasn't feeling good about herself. And she left the cabin and she walked downstairs, and then she ran into a woman. This woman came up to her and she goes, oh, you're the most beautiful woman, and I see you every night in the dining room with these gorgeous clothes. I mean, she said the most amazing things, where my mother's energy was totally shifted and lifted up. And she felt so good about herself. So when she told me the story, because she knew that I work with the angels, I said, Mom, what do you think that is? I said, have you ever seen that woman before? She goes, no. And I said, and were you not just feeling bad about yourself? She's like, yes. And I'm like, and this person, you know, so I was basically laying it out for her. And she goes, do you think so? I'm like, yes. You know,
aww. Isn't that cute?
I know. I love that. And I told her one day, because I do a show myself, and I said, will you please come on? And she goes, never. I'm like, okay, fine.
So, what to tell about the story?
Well, yeah, because I think a lot of us have these sort of angelic encounters where we all of a sudden we meet somebody and they share a message to us, and then they're gone, and I'm just like, wow. Yeah, where do they come from? And you never see them or hear about them. And then you find out, like, they don't even exist. Or somebody, like, did you see them? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And
go on.
No, go ahead. So that's...
No,
that's,
I was going to say, it's funny Maureen said that about the car. Because once my car died, and I mean, I was in the middle of nowhere, right? And I'm like, oh, what do I do now, right? And I said, okay, God, send me someone. And this man showed up, and I wasn't scared of him or anything. And he says he got my husband on the phone. He got me all ready, and he said, he's like, he made everything okay, you know. And he said, okay, I gotta go. Somebody up the street is looking for me. And I thought, his name was Carmen, and I called my next car Carmen because he helped me so much. And I thought, you know what? He was an angel. Like, I was in the middle of nowhere, you know? So,
yes.
And I would have been freaked out if it got dark, and, you know, but he came and he helped. It was great.
Yeah. And you know, the really important thing, and for those that are listening, is you asked. And that's the thing. I don't believe that they can just show up unless it's, you know, like a near-death experience and we're not ready. It's not our time to go.
Yeah.
But we do need to ask first. We certainly
I believe that.
Put that out.
Yeah, yes. I always say my clients that, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, it's our free will. You know, they can't interfere with our free will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So everybody listening, it's okay, you know, as we were saying earlier, it's okay to ask, no matter how big or small you perceive it to be. You know, that's why they're here, is to bring messages and to assist us on our path and, you know, make it a little bit easier for us if we allow that. You know, because we're entitled to that. That's the reason we're here. Mm-hmm. So I think we may be ready for a commercial. Okay. Why don't we take a quick commercial break, Psychic Access, and we'll be back. And that number, 724-444-4851. So have that handy. And we'll be taking callers in a few minutes, so stay tuned.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. And I'm your host, Jackie Hong, with my co-hosts, Steve, Sharon, and Maureen. So let me give you that number once again, and we're going to be ready for some callers. 724-444-4851. I just want to mention to please be specific as you can in your question. We will answer as clearly as we can. But it does help us to tune in more clearly when the question you are asking is as clear as possible. We understand you have a lot going on, and of course you want to ask guidance in different areas of your life. But if we could please leave it to one question, not one question, but just please be clear, okay? And we have a caller from Virginia on the line. Welcome to the show. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Steve from Virginia, and great show tonight.
Oh, thank you. What is your name? I'm sorry, I didn't get your name, honey.
Doreen.
One more time.
Hello?
Yes. Yes, you cut out. What was your name? And then we can move forward.
Doreen. Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to pass it over to Sharon, and she's going to give you your reading tonight, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Hello?
Okay, Sharon, when you're ready.
Sorry, I was on mute. Doreen, hi.
Do you have a question for me tonight? I am, would like to find out, I am open and ready for a tangible relationship. Just would like to know if you see one in my future, and if so, when. Looking for that true love, because it happened.
Okay. All right. Now, the first thing I'm seeing is that you are so blossoming right now. You are like a sunshine. When you walk into a room, you're just glowing. So you're very, very ripe for a relationship. And I'm feeling you have so much to offer. You have, I'm sensing I want to go to the end of the year. I want to go to Christmas time. And I'm feeling someone is going to just walk into your life that's going to knock your socks off. This gentleman is very old school. He's very traditional. He'll treat you like gold. He'll put you on a pedestal that, you know, I'm feeling maybe there's a few relationships from long ago that were kind of hurt. They maybe still have a little bit of bite in them. But I'm feeling this man will... There's traveling, and he's just going to be perfect for you. And you know what? You so deserve that right now. I feel you've done so much work, and you've helped so many people, and it's going to be your time. So around then, keep your antenna up, as someone always told me. Okay?
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, thank you for that, Sharon. Thanks for calling, Doreen. And we're going to move on to our next caller from New Jersey, my state. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi. This show tonight was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Thank you so much, and thanks for being a part of it. What is your name, please?
My name is Deborah. I'm Steve's friend. I just wanted to know...
Well, 1 second, because Steve is actually going to be reading for you, Deborah, so I'm going to pass it over to him.
Okay. Hi, Steve. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Major questions because I'm waiting for what we talked about. What I want to know is, would I ever get the coding position as a medical coding job? And what do you think about that?
My guide say, absolutely, Deborah. You're capable of so much. You know, you've had some knocks in life, and that's affected your confidence and your self-esteem professionally. But you're really on the right track. You've got a great new opportunity, and my guides are saying, absolutely, later this year, you'll have a great opportunity. And in fact, there are two promotions in succession for you. There's one later on this year, and another one about 9-10 months after. You're really on the rise, and you should be very excited. And you know deep down that you're absolutely capable of that opportunity.
Okay, one last question since you're on the phone. Did I mess up last night? Her mom called again.
Your friend's mom called you. Let's see.
Again. She's like so excited over me, and before she didn't even like me.
No, you didn't mess up, but my guides are just saying to you, be careful you don't get drawn in. She's extremely talkative, right?
Exactly. I'm going to delete her from my phone, so if I don't recognize the number, I won't pick up the phone anymore.
Well, my guides are saying she's extremely talkative, and you get chatting away with her, and then you say things or you disclose things that you perhaps would choose not to if you weren't just going with the flow of the conversation.
Exactly.
They're saying she's got very good intentions, and she does think you're wonderful, and she knows that you're a great influence over your friend, her daughter. But my guides are just saying to you, be careful, because she finds it difficult to keep things to herself. And if you disclose something to her that you perhaps wouldn't say to your friend, just be careful, because she will end up mentioning it. And my guides are saying, you know, you really don't want your connection with your friend to be compromised because she thinks that you're trying deliberately to get too close to her mother. So they're saying just, you know, you don't have to avoid her calls, but just be very sensitive about what you say.
Yeah, I think I will put a muzzle on it.
Does that make sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense, because I get so carried away just chit-chatting, and it's like I put my foot in my mouth sometimes. And I felt like I put my foot in my mouth last night, to the point where I said, next time she calls, I'm not going to answer it.
Okay, that makes sense based upon what my guys are saying. You know, just be careful that she's not doing it deliberately, but she chats away and you go with the flow of the conversation. You may say something that she is not aware of that she might then mention to your friend. And my guides are saying, just make sure that you wouldn't say anything to her that you wouldn't want your friend to hear about.
Okay, I'm going to put a muzzle on. So I didn't mess up, so I got a chance to fix it then. Okay.
You know, you haven't messed up at all, but just be cautious. But you're moving in the right direction. Now, do you have a gentleman in spirit whose name begins with D? Either it sounds like Dennis or David.
I had an old supervisor named Dennis. I was dating a guy years ago named David. I have a cousin named David. But Dennis was my supervisor years ago, or at the first job I was on, before I came to this one.
Now, at the time, did he have medium brown to darker hair? Because I'm seeing a gentleman with medium brown to darker hair.
Medium brown.
Yeah, and a moustache.
Hmm?
And a moustache.
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
yes, he
and he's wearing glasses. They're like rounded glasses. Do you remember those?
What did you say? Glasses?
Yes, rounded glasses.
Kind of, sort of. Corny-looking glasses.
Yeah, not glasses that I would choose today. They're not fashionable now. But he's very much about procedure, you know. I can hear him saying that he would have told you about procedures, and he there was a certain way of doing things, and the procedure had to be followed. And he was saying that you're such a lot of fun to work with, And you always listened. You were always extremely courteous towards him. And some of your colleagues of your at the same age at the time were not courteous towards him. And he's saying he never forgets how respectful you were. And he's saying that's a great strength in you. You have very strong integrity. And you'll be noticed for your integrity and your ability to listen and be flexible and to be really conscientious. And he's saying he tried to build your confidence, and you did grow in confidence at that time, but you were young. And he'd be saying to you, go for it, because you've got so much potential. And he obviously worked with a lot of different people, but has great and fond memories of you.
My goodness. He was my last supervisor, and he was like my husband on a job.
Oh.
I used to call him my husband, and when I go back to the, it's an army base I go to, they're closing, and I go visit him, and he act like he was my husband. I mean, he was so glad to see me. It was really weird. He always encouraged me, and I was going back to school, and he was just awesome. He was a knucklehead type of supervisor, because everything was by the book, his book. And it was,
okay.
It was in a laboratory.
Okay.
I'm like, Steve, you're awesome.
He's around you, yeah, and you know, he's encouraging you to go for it at work. Really believe in yourself and aim high, because you're going to do really well, far far better than you even imagined. So just constantly look upwards. And I'm very excited for you, Deborah. So good luck to you, and it was wonderful to talk to you today.
You're my hero. I love you.
Love you too. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Oh my God. Bye bye. Oh my God.
Thank. Bye, Deborah. Thank you. That's like a couple weeks in a row, right, Steve? Well, it's our lucky day. So we have a caller now from New York. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. What is your name, please?
Margaret.
Margaret. Okay, Margaret. I'm going to pass you to Maureen, so she will be giving you your reading, Margaret. So hold on.
Hi, Margaret.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And how are you?
Good. I'm just wondering when or if Dan is going to contact me any further.
Did you say Van?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I heard from him last week.
Okay, my feeling is that you're the one that's going to make contact with him, if anything, because you go through a difficult time. It seems it's a pattern, and there's a lot of things that don't get that don't get settled. You don't settle anything. And so things are left unclear and hurt. There's pain. And I feel that you're trying to take your personal power back and control of your situation. You know, my feeling is that he's having some issues, it looks like, that are to do with financial situations. And you know what? He's having some issues big time. And my feeling is, there's not much you can do for him or do about your relationship, except I see you just kind of just taking control of your own life. Now, I feel that you'll hear from him again, but there's nothing that's getting repaired. There's nothing repaired. And it's just, there's a lot of hurt and pain that it's from the past, and it stays along in your present. And I think that you need to make a decision about how you want to move forward with this. He's not up for sorting some things out right now, but it has nothing to do with the way he feels about you. It just is what it is. My feeling is, for the next 3 weeks, it's going to be difficult, but I feel that I see that I'm encouraging you to maybe move forward on your own. And I see you actually around girlfriends and having a good time. We're trying to have a good time, but you know, just going about your business, about your life. And I feel that even if you hear from Van, it's like I said, he's not he's not at a point where he can work things out with this relationship with you. And so it's kind of left in limbo. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you know all this stuff as it is. But I think that he'll find his way, but you can't push him to find his way. You know, quicker than you want to. But, you know, I feel by the end of the year, he'll be in a better situation. Now, as far as, are you going to wait around to that? I don't know. I just think there's a lot of stuff that has yet to be repaired from the past.
Right. I mean, he sort of never said goodbye to me. Like, I haven't seen him in a couple of years.
Oh, so this has been going on for quite... That's really a bummer. That makes sense. You know, Margaret, right? You know, my feeling is this. I feel that you two obviously have a very strong connection. You have, call it what you want, soulmate, whatever, but it is very strong, and it's very deep. It's profound. But
right.
That's where it can be kind of, it's challenging. But I do feel that it's going to be very difficult till the end of the year. But I get a good feeling that this relationship actually can move forward into a better place, but not right now. Not right now. I would hang in there, and I do see you going about your business and having a good time, and just taking back your personal power. And I would suggest you do not leave any type of schooling or anything like that. If anything to do with any searching for knowledge or any type of insight, you need to keep yourself involved in that. And just by going about your business, this relationship could thrive, but it's going to be very difficult, like I said, at least till the first of the year.
Do you know whether he's still married?
He looks like there's a lot of unfinished business around him. So he may be in a marriage that's not very good. He looks like he's very isolated and alone deeply down inside of himself. But I get feeling really uncomfortable, like inside myself, thinking when I feel him. He's in a very awkward place. At the same time, he's in a place where there's going to be a lot of things that will be opening up to him, because he's going to have to put a closure on things. But right now, things are very awkward inside. So I'm not clear about that. He could very well be, but not in a very good marriage. You know, you're in an interesting situation here. Yeah. But like I said, Margaret, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Were you going to say something?
Oh, no.
Well, Margaret, like I said, my feeling is that this will work itself to some place more comfortable than I feel it is at right now. For you to have any, you know, like I said, I just feel that you taking control of your own personal power right now is the best thing to do for your situation with this and also for your own life. But, you know, I do feel that there's going to be a beginning. Pardon me?
I'm sorry. It just like hurts my feelings that I have emailed him like really good news over this past week and he hasn't returned my email.
Right. Well, you know, like I said, it feels like he's very tormented with. It's not you. I don't think, my feeling is not you. It's not you. It's him. This is his stuff. He's not capable of rising to the occasion with his personal life. There's so much stuff inside that he can't, it's running crazy. It's like water going down a drain. It's whirling and whirling, but it's not even going down the drain. And it's his inner stuff. It's okay. It's not you. I know, you know, it's easy for me to say, but it isn't you, it's his stuff. And it's just not, the timing's just not there at the same time with you for him to take control of his life. But all I see is you taking control of your life, you'll be a lot better off. This thing will work itself out, your situation with him, because it is a very, you know, like I said, you have a strong bond, and it's profound, and it's an awkward feeling. But Margaret, in the meantime, I just suggest, you know, he's in a situation that he's in because whatever his stuff is going through, but it's just not the timing for you to work it out with him, for the two of you, is just not right now. Mm-hmm. So try not to take it personally, I guess. But he, there is some stuff, that's, you know, you just have to release from his stuff. It's not you. It's not a direct reflection of you. I wish I could help you out more, but I think you kind of know this stuff anyway. I just feel that if you focus on your own life and go about your business and just detach from him for a while, and it'll serve much better for you. It'll serve you much better, as well as, and I don't think it's the end of him. It's not the end of both of you, but I think for right now, it has to be, you have to detach from him. You won't be disappointed by doing so.
It's just difficult because I love him very much.
I know you do. And I can understand that. But I don't feel that you'd be disappointed because it is what it is. But I just feel like until the first of the year, he's not available to sort the stuff out or your relationship out, which I feel is actually the main situation here. And so... just detach and to go about your business, and it will come around again. It's not going to be gone. It'll come around, and it'll be better timing, and you will thrive with this. You just need to detach the best that you can.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Bless your heart, Margaret.
Thank you, Maureen.
Yeah, that was difficult.
Yeah. We're going to just move along. I believe we have another caller on the line from Florida. Are you with us this evening? Oh, Virginia, I apologize. Hi. Hello. Anybody home? Do we have a caller on the line? Okay. Let me make the announcement again for the number, 724-444-4851. The lines are open. I think we have Pennsylvania now. Let's try this one. Hi, welcome.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello there.
Hi.
glad you got okay, through. What is your name, please?
My name's Ashley.
Hi, Ashley. I'm Jackie, and I'm going to be taking your call this evening. So how can I help you?
I guess without sounding redundant, my question is, I guess I have some feelings for some guys in my life, and it's been a while since I've actually been in love or in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And just recently, about last weekend, I met a guy, and just wondering if maybe that's going to go anywhere, or if you see love anytime soon in the future.
Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting because there's a lot going on here for you. You know, your energy is shifting, and you've actually... realizing this, you know, you're more excited about opportunities. You're making yourself available. You're going out more. You're being in a place where you can meet somebody. Excuse me. So what my guides are showing me is, you know, we're in springtime now. So things are blooming energetically, metaphorically, and this is the way I see the bigger picture. So you personally are opening up, you are blooming, you're ready now to have a partner. I feel this person is going to come to you more as a teacher, and not that you're going to go to a class in the traditional sense, but this is somebody who's going to really help you see these parts of yourself that you don't appreciate, Ashley. I feel that you are somebody who tends to be a little hard on yourself. You're your worst critic. But you're such a beautiful soul. Like when I tap into your energy, it is such a very playful funness about you. So you're going to bring somebody into your life And I'm getting.
Do you see that happening soon, or?
I'm feeling by August. However, don't feel like you need to put your life on hold. What you're going to continue to do, and what I encourage you to do, is just still have fun, still mingle, still flirt. You know, have a good time. But this person that's going to show up around that time, and that's just what I saw flash in front of my eyes, is the month of August. It's somebody who's going to make a significant difference in your life. So as you continue to grow on your own and sort of break out of your fears of being in a relationship, because you're still going through that process, and you're definitely making leaps and bounds every day. But by the time this person shows up, there'll be much more of a really deep connection on a soul level. But please, I want you to just continue to have fun in the meantime, because there will be other people you're going to sort of hang out with and have a good time with. But the one, you know, sort of the person that you are seeking to have in your life, which you deserve, quite frankly, will be later in after the summer, you know, towards, you know, August, end of August. But this is going to be more of a spiritual teacher, you know, like your spirit part of your life, that deeper connection, that soul connection. This person is going to show up and resemble that to you. But now it's about getting yourself ready and breaking free, you know, be uninhibited, but, you know, in a very flirtatious and fun way. So this is all very, very good. You're going to have a lot of fun.
Have fun this summer. Have fun this
summer. I'm sorry? Yeah, let loose, girl. Let's have some fun. No, but you're going to have, just enjoy yourself. Everything you're doing is perfect. But they're pointing out to me, what they're showing me is this person in particular will be much more different than you realize. But your soul knows him, you know. So, but right now it's about peeling away the layers and the onions, metaphorically, of yourself to prepare for somebody of this, this higher vibration. This person is much more evolved spiritually. So as you move forward and get ready, you know, energetically to match his frequency, his energy, that's really what's going on right now. So from now in the next few months, you will be preparing yourself for him. He's ready. But it's about you preparing, and all you really need to do is just enjoy yourself. There really isn't anything else to do. So this is a good thing about preparing yourself, because it's about having fun, not worrying. You're going to have a good summer. Please keep us posted.
Sounds good.
Do you have any other questions for me?
No, that sounds great.
Yeah, you have a great energy, and just really enjoy yourself. You're going to have a good time.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Ashley, for calling.
Yes, bye.
Okay.
You are unmuted. So,
okay, I think we are ready for another caller. Anybody on the line? I'm not sure, but guys, the lines are open.
I think we have someone from Florida for me.
Oh, wow, you must be psychic. Okay, if you do, then go ahead. I'll let you take that. Thank
Hello.
You.
Hello, do we have someone here from Florida?
Yes.
Oh, hi, how are you? What's your name, please?
Hi, my name is Casey.
Hi, Casey. My name is Sharon, and I'll be doing your question tonight.
Okay.
Okay, what is it?
I am actually just wondering if I have a spirit guide and who it is, and if they have any words of wisdom, basically, for me.
Okay. I had two flashes, actually. I had a very tall, kind of masculine spirit guide, but then I went immediately to a kind of a teenager, but she's Native, and she has a wonderful healing bundle that she carries around when she's with you. And I'm not sure if you ever, do you ever smell like sage or sweet grass, just as you're walking around for no reason? Do you know what that smells like?
No.
Oh, okay. Because if you ever smell that, that's her. And she's going to be around with you for your whole lifetime. And she's quite knowledgeable. And she's everything she does is with native intent, in that everything will last for 7 years, and she's going to share as you get older, because I feel you're quite young, but as you get older, you're going to start maybe even studying the native way, and I'm feeling that you're going to get into something as you get older in the holistic field, and she's going to be right there with you. So she's very, very pretty. Her hair is like right almost down to her ankles, like not well, her knees sort of, and she's just very, very beautiful. Now, do you feel connected to the native at all, the native spirituality?
A little bit, I do. For some reason, lately I have.
Yeah, she's going to come stronger and stronger, and she's very, like, the knowledge there is like incredible, and I have a feeling it's a part of you too. So you're going to really enjoy this. But if you ever do smell the sage or sweetgrass or anything like that for no reason at all, it's her. Okay, and she's going to be in your life forever. All right. Does that help you, or did you have another question?
Actually, I had one more question. Me and my husband have been trying to conceive for quite a while, and I was wondering if maybe there was just a specific reason why we haven't, if it just wasn't our time.
Okay, well, that's a good question. I'm seeing a little girl beside you from Spirit, and I believe this little girl is going to come down and be with you. So I keep going to September, and I'm feeling that there's going to be a really strong energy around you for getting pregnant. So don't lose heart that you can't, because I believe you can. And this little girl, she's going to come down. She really wants to come down and be with you. So I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen this year. So have you kind of given up or anything like that, or like how are you feeling about it all?
I've actually just kind of said, it's up to God. Whatever happens, happens, and just go with the flow, and we know it's going to happen eventually.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to happen, and I'll say a prayer for you tonight, and I keep going to September, and then I'm just seeing you so happy. The two of you are so happy. It's like you're both crying and just so excited. So keep us posted.
Yeah,
okay?
Thank you.
All right, you take care. God bless.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you for that message to her. Mm-hmm. And we have a caller on the line, I believe from Ontario. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm going to pass you to Steve, and he's going to give you the reading, okay?
Steve is?
Yes, he is.
Hi, what's your name?
Oh, hi, it's Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn, how are you doing?
Well, I'm fine. How are you, Steve?
I'm very well, thank you, Carolyn. Pleased to talk with you. How can I help?
I'm just curious if you see a move for me in the near future, or when you might maybe see a move for me?
My guides draw me specifically to the end of August, September, and they say that in the second half of August, your decision will be made and your direction will be set. And then you will change homes and location in September.
In September? Okay, of this year?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, okay. Okay. Could that be specifically a move of a home, or could it be a move of a job?
It's both.
It's both, is it? Okay. Okay, because yep. I was going to ask you if you see me retiring.
I see you leaving your role in September. In fact, okay. No, they're correcting me. They're saying the move, the home move, you'll know about in August, second half of August, and you'll move in September, although it's towards the end of September. They give me the number 27. In fact, if you look at your family tree, there's a lady on your mother's side of the family that was either born or passed on the 27th.
Oh, interesting. My mom's mother passed when she was 58. I'm not sure when she passed. I was 11 years old. But with my grandmother, right?
Check in the family tree. On your mother's side, there's a lady that passed on the 27th.
or was born on the 27th, but it feels more like a passing. And she's saying to me that the 27th is a very auspicious date for you. It's a good number for you. And my guides are saying that you will change roles. You're kind of tired of your work. You've done a good job. You've worked hard and you've been very conscientious. And you've been in your the same line of work for quite a long time. They're giving me the number 17. Is it more than 17 years?
25 years.
25 years. They say that you've done a great job, but it's time for you. But you're not the type of person that would just retire and have leisure time. You're the type of person that needs to be active. And my guides have just, they're talking of books. You're a big reader.
I am.
And my guides have handed you a feather quill, and they're saying it's time for you to write. And you actually have ideas already for books.
Yeah, I like history. I like all the things I listen to on your station. You know, auras and angels, and I like all that sort of thing. I worked in a factory actually for 25 years on the line. So, like you said, I'm ready to give it up.
Yeah, it's your time now. You've worked so hard, and you've worked hard to support your family. And,
yes,
you know, this is really a wonderful time for you, and you will write. You love information. You're passionate about reading. You're passionate about research. You also love to speak to people and interview people. People just open up to you really easily. And my guides say that you will write. But you are the kind of person that will still need to stay very active. So it's an exciting time for you. There's a check for you as well, actually. My guides are giving you a check for $57,000. And they're saying that comes next spring.
A check for $57,000?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, that starts out. That starts me out well.
they say it's coming next spring, and they say if you think carefully, you'll work out where it's coming from. It's not as much of a surprise as you might think.
Oh, okay.
So have a think about it this evening. It's connected with a lady that you've been very good to.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's interesting. I'll write that down. Steve, do you think that number 27 could be the number of a house, too?
It could be, because it's an auspicious number for you. It's a good number.
Yeah.
It's definitely the date. It's definitely a very important date relating to a lady in your family in the spirit world. You also have there's definitely also a lady, Margaret or Marg, I think they called her Margie, but there's a Margaret, but she's on your father's side of the family. She's three or four generations up, and she wrote as well.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate that, and it was a great show tonight. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. It was great to talk to you. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much. Take care. Good night.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks for that, Steve. And that brings us yet to the end of another outstanding show. I want to thank my co-hosts, of course, and our executive producer, Doug, for taking care of business behind the scenes and really making sure everything is run smoothly. He puts a lot of his time, effort, and energy into this show. So thank you, Doug. Next week's show, I believe, is being anchored by Sharon. So Sharon, what can we look forward to next week?
Next week we have Peggy McCall, I'm really excited. She's going to come on the show, and she's going to tell us about all the different things she does, and she helps people all the time, and she has a lot of really neat books, so it's going to be fun.
Wonderful. Well, I'm looking forward to that. And so thank you for that. I want to thank everybody, Steve, Maureen, and Sharon, of course, for being here and contributing such wonderful insight to the show, and have a wonderful night, everybody. And thank you for listening, and those in the chat room. So we will see you next week, same time, same place. So good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Bye.